on Microsoft Word, it tells you how many words you type in at the bottom. And it was about 9 o'clock. I stopped. I walked away from my desk. I'm like, I need to kind of change the scenery. I come back a half hour later, and I prayed. And I said, Lord, if there's anything you want me to tweak or change in my notes, I said, just let me know, and I'll do it. So I looked over at my iPad, and it was black. It went in sleep mode. I opened it back up, and everything I did Monday night was gone. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I went to work the next day, and you ever had a day where you feel like the wind is out of your sails? And you felt like you got kicked in the chest? I'm like, Tuesday was that day. And it was, I was like, okay. Well, I did pray. I did ask you, Lord, if there's something you want me to add or take away, I'll do it. He goes, no, I'll do it for you. It's gone. So, I mean, you got to be careful what you pray for. He'll honor those prayers. And it was, I got home, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this all over again. And I got a message on my phone from my neighbor across the street. She must have been waiting for me to pull up in the driveway. And I'm like, most 99% of the people that I have in my contacts do not message me. It's through Messenger. So I get this special ding. I'm like, okay, what is this? And it's my neighbor across the street. Her name is Alicia. I have two pictures on a computer. The one, can you see what's on there before you put it up on the screen? The one that's got the newspaper ad. She saw this, and she wanted me to know that this was on her mind. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I'm checking her on Facebook. She's got it in her news feed. She not only sent me that, but she put it on her Facebook page. She goes, this is so neat. From 1969, she said, this is where the newspaper ad from. I don't know if she was at the library. I don't know how she found this newspaper. But she goes, it was from 1969, before Brother Davis is here. And I got thinking, Lord, what is going on? And my first thought was, well, thanks for sharing that with me. And about 30 seconds later, I go, hey, wait a second. I think there's something a little bit more to this. And I said, you've helped some friends of mine I go to church with, Jay and Darlene, at the she's a manager at Walgreens. And I am so nervous for my iPad to just blank out. I'm a little paranoid. When I came to church tonight, I was like a carton of eggs. I'm like, please do not black out on me, Ryan. Show me how to save this. I don't know what I was doing wrong, but I don't want to spend 5 hours or 6 hours for nothing. Because I can't hardly read my little Etch-a-Sketch stuff I put on paper, so that's why I put on an iPad. There's something more here. And she raved on Jay and Darlene. And I got thinking, this is the church body working outside of the four walls. She goes, there's amazing people. I kind of like to ask them to adopt me. She's my age. She was just saying this out of humor. And she goes, by the way, do you have Vacation Bible School at your church this summer? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to look into it. But I said, we're having children's service at our church this Saturday night, Sunday morning. And I'm like, would you like a flyer? She goes, yes, I would. I'm thinking of what's been going on here with the four tables and what Brother Wells has been doing upstairs with us. And the seeds have been planted. And you talk about getting excited. Lord, It's like a nervous excitement. Does anybody have a nervous excitement? That's kind of what I have. I'm nervous excited because I put that in there twice already, Brother Kelvin. Walking very carefully into the church. Please don't shut off. Please don't shut off. And I want to do an object lesson here before we get to move on. But don't put that. I need one volunteer that is halfway decent at drawing. And are you okay? Okay, let's do this. All right, you have to face them, and you cannot turn around because here's what's going to happen. He's going to draw what's on the screen by you explaining to him how to draw what's on the screen. So, Jay, go ahead. You can look. So I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight about making your mark. Making your mark in ministry, it's a rhetorical question. What would be easier, describing your ministry or showing somebody your ministry through your actions? And that's what I want to talk about. And a little bit in the church, but more outside these four walls. Kind of the example of a seed that was planted. I know there's a watering of it that I just shared with you. How my neighbor couldn't wait for me to get home to message me because I literally put my hand on the handle of the garage door and ding. She goes, I'm thinking about your church. I know she's Catholic. because she talked about going to Ash Wednesday and stuff. And I'm thinking, God, you're doing something here in the town of Sandwich. And I'm not just saying God's doing something across the street, but he's doing something there's something happening here, and I'm excited about it. God is positioning all of us for something great. And I believe we need to come in here every day with an expectation. And that God is going to do something, that somebody may walk through the doors that we have not maybe seen before, we haven't seen in a while. It was encouraging to see Anthony and his family come in here Sunday morning. And God's working in his life. It is incredible what he's doing. And he listens to podcasts all the time. He drives a truck over the road, and he tells me he listens to almost everything that's online. You know, so it's amazing. We don't know what God is doing, because God sees things and he's operating, and we cannot imagine. Our thinking, our mind, our vision is way too short to understand what God is doing right now. He's placed us here for a purpose and for a reason. And everybody in our life that we come across, in a workplace, at the store, anywhere we go, is for a purpose and a reason. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself right now, because I don't know if it's excitement, but everyone, this is Lee Stone King's quote, and I'm not, I plagiarize. I want to tell you where it came from. He goes, every person that you meet today is on God's most wanted list. And every person that you encounter is on God's most wanted list. Everything, we have a purpose. Our life is purpose-driven. And a lot of times we are blinded. The enemy wants to put blinders on us and to distract us from what God's doing. And it is so grand, and it's such at a bigger scope than we could possibly imagine. And I'm excited about it. And I told Sister Graham, I said, sometimes I'm laying in bed and I lose sleep thinking about what God is doing and these underlying things. And you could feel it. You could sense it. We don't see it right now. But by faith, faith causes me to get excited, because it's the evidence of things hoped for. There's substance there. There's something there I can't visualize. I mean, I'm not seeing it right now. There's open seats right here. These first three are... But when it's going to come a day when we come in here and be like, where am I going to sit? Maybe standing room only. I don't know. Without a vision, they're going to perish. So I'm not looking at just a facility to pack a place out. This isn't a venue. This isn't a mausoleum. This is church. This is a revival. This is an end time thing. God has positioned us all here for a reason. I'm looking forward to it. And there's pieces of our life that God is placing us in certain days and certain situations. And some of them come with struggle. Some of them are going to come with hurt. When you have a heart and you take on God's heart, it's painful at times. I told the youth class last week, I said, and I teach my kids, put your heart in everything you do. You want to stand out in your job. You want to stand out in your neighborhood. You're going to put your heart in everything that you do. And sometimes that's going to cause some heartache. Your heart's going to get broken. Your heart's going to get hurt at times. I remember watching, it's March Madness, and there's guys in their senior year playing basketball right now, and this is it for them. And I was watching a game on Sunday afternoon when we went to Panda Express, and there was two teams playing, and one guy, you could tell he was playing with everything that he had, but their team fell short of winning. And I don't know if he was a senior. I kind of caught it at the very end, but his teammates were rallying around him because he played with his whole heart. He just literally broke down. He put his face inside his shirt, and he just wept, and his teammates were rallying around him because he played with his whole heart. And when you take on God's nature with your heart, it's going to bleed sometimes. It's going to not, outside, you know, people aren't going to see it, but God, it's going to feel like it's just ripped wide open, and it's going to hurt and be painful at times. I remember I was in the Final Four a few years ago. Michigan State was in there, and there was one of the point guards. He rolled his ankle 2 minutes left, His heart propelled him to play past the pain to win the game for his team, for his school. So it's a two-part thing. It's going to come with heartache because we may not get the response that we're looking for in the time and the effort that we put in. When we invest our time and efforts in people, and we put our heart into it, but we were planting a seed and we're watering, but God gives the increase. We do not give the increase. God gives the increase. But we do our part, and God's going to do his, and our labor will not be in vain. I rest assured that whatever we did, and it may not look with these eyes like it worked out at the moment, God's going to honor that and say, I'm going to bless in another way over here. You can't see it right now. You're facing a lot of tests and trials in this church, and you see discouragement. But one thing we cannot forget to do is when we have tests and trials, and we're just faced with discouragement all the time. He said, "Count it all joy when everything feels like it's coming against you." Okay, I went to a men's conference last Friday night, and I had a whole list of things to do. To take with me so I wouldn't forget it. I don't want to forget my belt. I don't want to forget my socks. Definitely don't want to wear my work boots because I left straight from the job to go down to Effingham to get to the hotel. It'd be kind of weird to go in work boots and the dress clothes. So I made it my to-do list. But God says, count it all joy. Don't forget to have joy in tests and trials. Don't forget to have joy when there's just a few of us because God is going to honor this. He's going to honor the ones that are here tonight. You may be a part of something. We're going to have those services where some people aren't going to be here, and all we're going to be able to say to them is, you just had to be there. It's going to be one of those. I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that Jay and Darlene planted a seed in my neighbors. If I'm not mistaken, you were kind of frustrated at the little kiosk, right? I get frustrated. Do you not at times get frustrated when you're trying to, okay, Android, Apple, you put your phone in there, you're like, I'm trying to find the size, I'm trying to crop the picture. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, come quick, get over here, I need help. Out of frustration, but they were patient, and it paid off because there was a mark. There's people in this church that are making a mark in people's lives. And you may feel like you're not getting anywhere, but you're getting somewhere. We're making ground. We're gaining ground. I wanna share. Ministry is best defined by how it's lived, and making a mark, and thinking about how when my kids are growing up, and I didn't have to say, hey, is anybody home when I walked in the front door? You know what would let me know when they were in the house? I saw shoes. Backpack, coat, one after the other. There was a mark made there, and I got thinking. Kara, she's upstairs, but she goes, I want to go to college next year. After I get my basics done, I goes, I want to go get into forensic science. And did you know that the ones that are trained in forensic science, they're able to look at a glass with fingerprints on it in the light and tell if it's a male or female that held that glass. And there's a mark that is made. I want to make an impression for the kingdom of God, in my life, in the lives of others, living a selfless life. It is a purposeful and a meaningful life when we make a mark and impression. And people are, I got thinking when I was driving to Effingham, it was on I-55, there was a rolled over car. I actually saw two. One, it had the whole northbound lane shut down. I was listening to the traffic report, and they brought in a helicopter. I was going one way. The helicopter must be coming from the other way because I never did see any evidence of a helicopter, but it was about 15, 20 minutes down the road. I'm like, there's another car upside down in the ditch. They're stuck in the ditch, and I'm thinking, how many people do we come across that are stuck in a ditch every day, and they can't get out? And it's us. God's using us to help them. Give me your hand. I want to help you get out of that ditch. And that's the mindset that we need to have continually. And I want to read this scripture. And when I read this, it touched me in ways I've never
been touched before, and every once in a while, it'll do that. When you read a portion of Scripture, I don't know if you do it with Sister Christy, like when you get in your Bible reading, and all of a sudden, it seems like a routine, and when I get done with this in about 10 minutes, I'm going to check today's off. But I was reading this, and I literally could not read the whole thing without stopping. It's in Matthew 25, and I do not have it in the King James Version. I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation Version. It said, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked or give you clothing? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" And it was in verse 35, it says, "For I was hungry and you cared for me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home." And I got thinking of small groups. We have no idea what God is able to do. And it's going to open a door. When we open the door to our home, they're going to come into our home before they come into his house. My house is his house too. Everything that I have is his. It all belongs to him. Lord, increase my territory. Increase your kingdom for your name's sake. I want to see these people come through these doors, but maybe the gateway for them to get into these doors is to get into the front door of my house. And I got thinking about, when did you feed me? And I got thinking of, feed my starving children? Don't take that for granted. Oh, well, the church is going to go do that thing, and then they're going to go out to Patil's afterwards. What's wrong with that, for one? Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?' And he will answer, 'I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Have a heart. It will save your soul. It will hurt when people trample on it at times, but God, this belongs to him anyways. Lord, break my heart if you need to break it. Make whatever you need to make with my heart. Whatever you need to do for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, I want to see other people that are lost that don't know you the way I know you. It takes an open heart. It will separate you from everybody else. You are going to stand out. You're going to be different. People are going to be able to trust you, though. They're going to be able to share things with you. I can't. There was somebody today at work told me, "I trust you. I don't like this way this other guy that came on the job today talked to me. I felt like he was being racist to me." He goes, "But I trust you. Can I share? Can this be between me and you?" And I'm starting to look at people differently. There was a man that showed up, and it was Friday and Monday. I work on a lot of different jobs. I see a lot of different people. A lot of people come and go for the 23 years I've been in the Carpenters. And I could tell he was a little rough around the edges. I could tell most people wouldn't want to work with him. When he came at break time, he was kind of fidgety. He didn't want to sit down. He had nothing to drink. He had nothing to eat. Throughout the day, he goes, "I'm kind of thirsty. Do you have a bottle of water?" I'm like, "Sure I do. I'll give you one." What you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing to me. We live, this is a world where a lot of people have already waxed cold. Their hearts are hard. It's the church that is standing out. I'm saying this. We could go in defense mode to where we're like, "I'm not going to get trampled on. I've been stepped on way one too many times." No, you haven't. Because that one more time is going to open a door that you never could even imagine. I worked with this guy for many years, and I care for this man dearly. But for many years, he was very hard to work with. And most people would say, "Oh, you got to work with him? Good luck." And I remember there was days I would go home from work, and I'd be like, my heart was hurt. And I said, "God," I said, "I don't know much more I could take of this." And I remember working one morning, and it was about 8:30. I said, "If he doesn't change his attitude, I'm going to go off on him." And it was about 10 to 9, and I'm like, "He's actually starting to mellow out a little bit." I'm like, "Okay." Confrontation diverted. Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. But there's something that I know about him that most people didn't. He was a guy that he lives in a neighborhood of small subdivision in Yorkville, about 55 homes, and he's got a snowplow on his truck, and he loves to plow out the neighbor's driveways when it's snowing. He doesn't do his. He does about 20 other driveways in his neighborhood after work and on weekends. And I remember him coming to work one day, and I remember him talking to me, and he was discouraged. He goes, he just wanted to be appreciated. He just wanted people to appreciate. He goes, I don't even get a thank you or nothing. I said, "Greg," I said, "you're a good man with a big heart." You know what? That was a game changer. There was an opportunity for me to, you know what, I'm going to blow him off because I didn't like the way he treated me. I didn't like the way he was brash toward me all these other times. But there's an opportunity. When I got a message from my neighbor, there was an opportunity. How far is this going to go? Brother Davis, he's type A personality. He's a man's man. He's rugged. He's tough. He texted me out of the blue. Not too long after that happened, he goes, "I love you like a brother." That wall broke down. He never acted that way any different towards anybody else at work, but he did to me, and he lets me know. He goes, "I love you. I appreciate you." He's going to retire next February. He's going to move to Arizona. And I care for this man deeply, but it came with some hurt because I got walked on. I got mistreated. And I was like, it was unbearable. But you know what is one of the fruits of the Spirit that's not mentioned very much? Long-suffering. Long-suffering is a fruit. Joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. We love those. Long-suffering, are you kidding me? Let's put that on the shelf. I'm gonna walk right past that fruit when I walk into the grocery store. I don't want that. That's got a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, I gotta wake up in the morning, and I gotta go to bed at night, and I gotta look forward to that again the next day. I gotta suffer long, but my grace is sufficient. His pain, he allows these things in our lives for a reason, because everyone that we come in contact with is on God's most wanted list. Lord, I want to have your heart, but it's going to hurt sometimes. This too, it's in Hebrews 13, 1-3. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Relate to them. Connect with them. Break the strongholds. They are in prison every day. We aren't. We just encounter the prison that they live with on a daily basis. We're not in prison. We're there to be that lighthouse, to say there's hope. And walls are going to come down, but it's going to come down with maybe a little bit of hurt, maybe getting a little trampled on with my heart at times. But that's okay because God's a healer. He can heal that heart. I went to men's conference, and I heard about prison ministry in the Illinois district. I kind of want to touch on that for a minute. There's 23 different prisons and halfway houses that the state of Illinois and the United Pentecostal Church is visiting every week. And one thing I didn't know about this was Sister Suey. I don't know if you ever know the Sueys down in Herrick. Sister Suey, she was actually the one that initiated going to the prison, to the men's prison first. It was Brother Suey. It was not his intention. He said, my wife had the burden to do this, and when I dropped her off at the front of the prison, and she stepped out of the car with her size 5 shoe and walked to the front door, and when I didn't see her anymore, he goes, that's when conviction hit me, that she had a burden to go there, and I didn't. And while we were there, there was men that are one particular church is going into a particular prison, and people are getting the Holy Ghost, but they don't have the ability to be baptized yet. So the guy goes, I need $300 for a baptismal. There was an instant call for offering. There was money thrown on the altar, and they left there fully funded to have a baptismal to go to the next prison service. And I know that in Cook County, this was just a few years ago, Passing the Mantles actually starts tomorrow night, and it's Friday also. And Brother Gonzalez, he was there, and he spoke, and he told me that their church goes to Cook County Correctional Center in Chicago. And literally, there have been thousands that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost through prison ministry, through the ministry that the outreach from their church. But they don't allow people to be baptized. But there's a thing, there's halfway houses that are being built that are being fully funded by the United Pentecostal Church here in Illinois, where people are being restored, where families are being, you know, some of these men, they have kids. They're married or were married, but they're getting their life back together. God is changing their life. God is restoring them better than they've ever been before. And let me think here. There was a one lady that spoke, and she was petite also, and she goes into these men's prisons and preaches and goes into these halfway houses. But she encountered a man that at one time, 25 years before, was being picked up on a Sunday school bus from a Pentecostal church. When they began to preach and teach in these settings and in that environment in the prison, that there was demonstration, there was a tongues and interpretation, and I wrote this down. And what was said in the interpretation was, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I didn't get all of it. I couldn't write it all down. But he goes, I remember that. I remember what it was like to be in a Pentecostal church when I was younger. That person is back in a Pentecostal church, leaving that prison. It's having a heart. It's making an effort. It's taking my personal time. All the time that I have is it really mine? Or am I chopping it up and say, Lord, I'm going to give you this section of my time, but this section is for me. It's all yours. Brother Mike Bland is a man that goes to the church there in Herrick, and he has arthritis, but he has a burden to write to the prisoners. He can't write. He's got software on his computer for speech. He's doing whatever he can. He goes, I want to write to these guys in prison. I can't even do it, but there's software out there for me to be able to communicate because I want to make my mark. I want to share the kingdom of God with these men that have lost their way, that are stuck in the ditch because they don't have to be stuck in there the rest of their life. I want to reach for them and pull them out of the ditch. Their lives are turned upside down. Both the vehicles I saw, I believe it was symbolic, they were literally upside down in the ditch on 55. between the two lanes, between the northbound and southbound lane. Their lives are upside down. God wants to reach for them and pull them out of the ditch and turn their lives right side up. I'm looking forward to who God is going to bring in this church these next few weeks, these next few months, this year. I'm not going to say this projected like in the years to come. We don't know how long this is going to be before God just says, okay, I'm done. I didn't do this without Brother Wells' permission. And I felt led of this when I was there and coming home, and I got thinking about it all this week. Before I say that, I remember going into the Ace Hardware store. And if anybody has to charge anything on the account, you give them the church account number, and then the church name pops up on the screen, and everybody tries to enunciate Episcopal or whatever. They try to stay apostolic. They can't do it. I want to make such an impact on this community and these surrounding communities that people that have never walked through these doors know how to enunciate our name because it's common. I feel loved by these people. These people share God's heart. These people are different. These people care about me. Nobody in my home cares for me the way these people care for me in this church. But I also like to see them come through these doors. We've had, back on that board, there's 192 squares up there, and I think there's about 30 that are marked up there. Could I get somebody to count how many squares are X'd up there? We're going to do some math. God has given his people divine favor to advance the kingdom of God. In John 3, in verse 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And I got thinking about all these to-do lists that I have at home and everything I can't wait to do when the weather starts to break and the deck I want to put on the back of my house and I want to stand out and some certain remodel things I want to do in the kitchen and the living room. And I got thinking, hey, wait a second. What about the house of God? I need to take care. I heard this said also by somebody else, and I believe it was Lee Stone King. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. And I feel impressed to do this, and there's not very many of us here tonight, but to take up an offering for the building fund here, because that's been up there a very long time. There's been very little movement. And I believe we as a church have, do you have a number, Jay? There's 33. Let's do, anybody have a calculator? Here, let me pull one out. There's 192 squares. 192 by 55. That's 10,560. Okay. 32, you said? $1,815. Has been raised so far. $8,710 for people that have not walked through these doors yet to come see to see why we are so excited to come through these doors every week. So I'm going to do is, not everybody brings checkbooks to church. I know that. We have Breeze apps. But let's take a moment. We're going to pray about this. And we're going to pray individually, Lord, what amount would you like me to give tonight? And we have, if you could maybe put it on a piece of paper. If you aren't able to write out a check and you don't have your checkbook here tonight, put it on a piece of paper and say, this is, I feel led to give this amount, but I can't do this until the next time I come to church or when I get on Breeze. So can we just take a minute, Lord, I would not bring this up tonight, Lord, unless you laid it upon my heart to do so. Lord, I believe, Lord, there's going to be many new people who are going to be walking through these doors. Lord, I want to put you first in your kingdom, Lord. You said if we would put you first and take care of your business, you would take care of ours. Lord, I pray that you bless every individual, Lord, that is going to give tonight, that is going to give by faith in Jesus' name, Lord, is going to give to your kingdom, to this church, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask if somebody can grab an offering plate, and we just put it up here on the altar. This isn't Brother Tom trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. I've never done anything like this in my life. But if you feel led to do so, if we could stand, it's about 5 to 8. We're done a few minutes early. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you, in Jesus' name, Lord. For this church, for this community, for the surrounding communities, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would, as individuals, Lord, would make a mark and an impression, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, to plant a seed, to water, Lord, in Jesus' name. Ultimately, Lord, you give the increase in Jesus' name, Lord. There's many that have been, that are stuck in ditches in life, Lord, and they don't know how to get out, Lord. We be your hands and your feet and reach out to them, feed them, clothe them, give them something to drink when they're thirsty, Lord. Be your heart and your mind. Take on your heart, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that your kingdom, Lord, would it advance in Jesus' name. Amen. That is it. You're dismissed.